radio akwaaba bia si eye
Radio Akwaaba 104.6 FM. It's another wonderful Tuesday again, and yours truly, the unofficial mayor of Mount Albert. I'm right in the studio here with you guys, and I got my wonderful, wonderful guest in the studio here. And just a reminder that this program is sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand.
Man.
Radio Akwaba 104.6 FM. You know, today God is about to touch somebody right at the point of your need. You know, where you are, God, the Lord going to touch you. The Lord going to visit you. And, you know, but I believe that every time, every Tuesday, there are a lot of feedback we've been getting from people out there who've been listening to us on 104.6 FM. Those who've been watching, who've been listening to us on www.planetaudio.org.nz. And those of you who've also been watching us live on Facebook. Wonderful. Thank you to all of you guys for supporting us throughout the place. We believe that whatever service is coming out of this studio, you've been blessed. And thank you for listening. Thank you, Father. Thank you also for sharing whatever your opinions are with us as well on 104.6 FM. You know, and whenever I come to the studio here, I'm blessed because I've got a wonderful brother here, very inspirational, anointed, and touched by the power of the Lord. And he's here because God has sent him. He's come here with a message for somebody out there who probably might be going through probably the lowest point of your time. But don't worry, your time is not yet ended because God has got a message for you. Brother Samuel?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Welcome to the city here again.
Thank you very much.
And it's been a couple of two, three weeks.
Yes. I was just telling President here that I feel like I've not done this in a very long time. I'm trying to remember how to do this.
I'm done it. But I'm strongly believe that God is going to touch somebody out
Amen.
There. But like we always say, just invite a friend to invite a friend's friend that it's another Tuesday again.
Amen.
And your life shall never be the same.
Amen.
The audience are all yours, brother.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Thank you. And I want to say a very, very big welcome to everyone that has tuned in today. Thank you very much from wherever you may have tuned in from. It's a joy to always be able to do this, either when I'm doing this via Motor Vitality or doing this via radio. Anytime there's an opportunity to be of blessing to lives, I'm always happy and excited. It's always I'm always full of joy. Before I go ahead, I would like to first of all thank the Redeemed Christian Church of God, and of course my father in the Lord, Pastor David Adelowo, for this wonderful opportunity. This particular segment of the radio show today is paid for by the Redeemed Christian Church of God Victory House, pastored by Senior Pastor Pastor David Adelowo. Is my father in the Lord, and I really, really honor and appreciate God in his life. So really, really thankful for this opportunity to be able to bring God's word to you. It's a phenomenal thing happening in our lives, and I believe that there's something really awesome. I just want to announce something today for anyone watching this, and you're watching this from here in New Zealand. By the grace of God, throughout November, I've decided that I will be writing 30 articles for anyone that you know that may be suicidal. One of the things that grieve my heart, one of the things that makes me really, really sad, is when I hear about people committing suicide, because I believe the mandate of God for my life is to help people discover their purpose so that they can live fully and live an impactful and influential life. So whenever I hear about someone taking their own life, I always feel somehow, I always feel heart-wrenched. But I've always, for years I've contemplated about, I've contemplated on doing something about it. And by the grace of God, God has laid on my heart the entire November, from November 1st to the 30th of November, I'll be writing 30 articles. I'm partnering with some organizations to make this happen, partnering with some social enterprise, partnering with some suicide prevention organizations as well, partnering with churches, partnering with anyone interested. And you could be interested. So if you're interested, kindly let me know. Send me a message, reach out to me on Facebook, reach out to me via my email, info@samuelekundayo.com. And of course, follow samuelekundayo.com to see how that is going to proceed. So you may be reading some of those articles in the New Zealand Herald, or seeing me on TV one of these days, or seeing me in a high school near you. It's going to really be awesome. The vision is big, the vision is great, and that is going to be happening for the entire month of November, from November 1st to November 30. And I've titled it 30 Reasons Why You Should Give Life Another Try. 30 reasons why you should give life another try. We are going to shake New Zealand by the grace of God from one person at a time. And I believe that national problem of people committing suicide every year, at least two people commit suicide a day in New Zealand, at least, barely about two people commit suicide a day in New Zealand. And right now, more than 600 people have already committed suicide this year. That's already too much. And it's heart-wrenching, it's heartbreaking. We need to do something about it. And I feel God is leading me to do something about it. And I will do something about it. So if you want to support me, kindly let me know, and I'll tell you how to support. God bless you. All right, let's move into today's message, because we don't have too much time. As you can see, I'm passionate about that news I just gave you, and I believe God, you know, for something really awesome. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you for yet another opportunity to hear your word again. The Bible says, Lord, that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. That means every time we encounter your word, all our weakness, all everything that is bothering us, our pains and agony, everything disappears because the encounter with your truth gives us freedom. Father, right now as we're about to encounter your truth again, we receive freedom from anything that may be holding us back in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the revelation of your word lead to our elevation and manifestation in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Today we're talking about invisible yet existent. Invisible yet existent. This is a message God has laid on my heart. I believe it's a life-transforming message. So please stay tuned. Don't tune off at any time. And of course, invite people. If you're watching this message from anywhere all over the world, share this message right now on your Facebook. And of course, if you're watching this on Twitter or whatever, I don't know, share this with somebody because it's going to really be a life changing one. Somebody is about to, experience, freedom like never before. Somebody is about to discover something about themselves they have not discovered before. And I believe it's going to be an awesome time in God's presence. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 is where we're starting today. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. The topic again is invisible yet existent. Invisible yet existent. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says it like this. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by God's command. So that what is seen, or let me say it like this, so that the things that are visible has been made from things which are not visible. So that the things that we see with our naked eyes were made or are made from the things that we do not see. What I love about that scripture, which is, where the title of today's message did come from, is the fact that it says that the things which we see right now, all the things we see, all the things we can see, all the glories we can see around us, all the beauty we can see around us. Guess what? They were all made from things that were invisible. In other words, they were not made from things that were not existent. The things that they were made from were already in existence. They were just not visible. And it is important that you get this point because this is what frames everything I'll be sharing with you today. It is important that you get this point. Everything you can see around you was made by invisible raw materials. That means that thing was already in existence even before you could see it. Oh my goodness. And somebody will be saying, where are you going with this? Oh, just stay tuned. Don't log off. It's going to really be amazing. See, every single thing God created, if you read the book of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1 tells us all that God created. Genesis chapter 2 tells us about how God created those things. And if you read those two chapters very well, what you would discover, for instance, when God created light, the Bible talks about darkness being all over. But what the Bible did say about light was that God said, let there be light. The truth was, light was already existing before God declared that let there be light. There was nothing that says, God formed light out of. Mm-mm. Light was already in existence, and God just called forth light. You know what? I was reading about the artists, I was reading about the artists recently, and I think I made a video of it not long ago. I heard about sculptors or artists in general. Whenever they want to make something, what they do is they walk around the raw materials of that heart for days, sometimes for months. I heard about Michelangelo in person, that he would walk around the tree that is trying to
use, you know, for his heart, you know, and walk around it for days and months, just walking around it and imagining what he would create or what he could create through that raw material, through that wood, and he would just be walking around it like a madman, just walking around it, looking at that wood and imagining, you know, what would come out of it, imagining the masterpiece. So as he's walking around it, he's already creating inside of his mind what he has in store for that wood. And God is an artist. Permit me to say, God is an artist. He is the kind of person that knew before he created anything what he was going to do with that thing. That is why what is not existent may not be visible to you, but to God, it's very open, very clear. Your future is already open to God. See, your pains today that is making you want to give up. That's where I'm going, in case you're wondering. All those things about you that is making you want to quit, that is making you feel like you're in agony and in pains, that is making your labor room experience be so tiring and discomforting and making you to lose hope. Listen to me. God already sees your future. He sees that future for you. That is amazing. That is awesome. You may not see it. Remember, the things which we can see are created from the things which are not visible. It is already in existence, but you may not be able to see it. And that's why I love the book of Job chapter 8 verse 7. It says, your beginning may seem small. And I love that word seem. The most important word in that verse is seem. Seem. Because when you look at something, you know, you look at a raw material, that thing may seem small. Oh, for instance, if I hold a seed up in my hand right now and I show you, I don't have a seed. I tried looking for one, but I live in a country where seeds are not easily grabbed. you know, if I hold a seed, a grain of maize or corn, for instance, if I hold it up in my hand like this and I ask you, what am I holding in my hand? I'm sure your response will be, oh yeah, that's a seed and that's a corn. That's a, you know, that's a grain of this. But listen to me, I am holding a potential forest in my hand. Yes, because this what seems small in my hand, the moment it goes into the ground, hello, the moment it goes into the ground and is watered and is fed and is cultivated, it can become another massive corn with even more hundreds of seeds. And then if I take that hundreds of seed again and put them in the ground, then I will get 100 more, plants of seed, and I will even get times 100 of what I've just done. And before you know it, oh my goodness, I could have a whole forest of corn. My point to you today is, though your beginning may seem small, and I don't know what is seemingly small about your life right now, but I want to pray for you. Anything that you can see right now that is affecting what you can see. Yeah, I remember putting on Facebook the other day, I said, don't let what you can see affect what you can see. And it is very important, because people of faith, they see what they can see. I know that sounds very paradoxical, but what I'm trying to say is this. There is something about you that you cannot see that you need to see. And the moment you see it, oh my, the moment you see it, life is different. Life is, I mean, challenges cannot hold you down anymore. You see, and that is why it is important to get this concept of a seed. But I want to pray. I want to pray for anyone right now that, you know, around you, you can't just see anything beyond you. You can't see anything beyond your limitations. You can't see anything beyond your challenges. You can't see beyond your pain right now. You can't see beyond your agony. And you're saying, Samuel, pray for me. Father, Lord, I pray for that person right now who cannot see beyond their pain, cannot see beyond their agony, cannot see beyond, you know, whatever it is that they are feeling that is unpalatable at the moment. Father, I pray that you begin to open their eyes. Like the other day when Elijah prayed and said, Lord, open the eyes of those people. Let them see that those who are with us are greater than those against us, are more than those against us. And precisely you did that. You opened their eyes. And the moment they began to see the things that other people could not see, their perspective changed. Father, I pray for whoever is watching this right now, that you begin to open their eyes to begin to see the things that other people around them cannot see, so that their perspective begin to open up to the truth about them, to the potential that they have in the mighty name of Jesus, to the future that you have for them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. See, that thing you cannot see is what we call potentials. That thing you cannot see about yourself right now, you know, is what we call potential. And listen, God is a God of potentials. That's why we call God the omnipotent God. Omni means always or full. And potent means power, full of power, full of potentials. God is a God full of potentials. And we as children, he has translated that into us. We are also full of potentials. So no matter what you're going through today, if there's anything, forget about everything I may have said before. It is the fact that you're full of potentials. And that you are still breathing means there is a potential of greatness on your inside. And that's why I love that Job chapter 8 verse 7. He said, though your beginning may seem small. See, one of the things that makes us not to see what we are supposed to see about ourselves is the assessment of people. You know, I mean, your teacher will look at you and they call you average. your boss will look at you and they say you are good for nothing. Your parents may even make that mistake and call you a mystic and say, oh, we were not even planning you, and you begin to feel like a mystic. Or situations around you are just limiting you. You know, no one around you is doing beyond, you know, above average, and you feel like you've been colonized in that environment. And that's how your life is going to pan out. Listen to me. You are full of potentials. Oh my goodness. My favorite scripture comes to mind here. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. It says that we have treasures on our inside. Oh, it says with all surpassing power that belongs to God and not us. See, the potentials you have on your inside does not even belong to you. That is why you cannot fail. I hope someone is catching this revelation. What you have on your inside that people cannot, and that's why people can't see it. Because it's not for them. It's not about them. They don't hone you. They don't hone it. They have no idea. They look at you like that grain of the seed where we started from. They look at you like that seed and they look at how tiny you are. But what they fail to see is the greatness that is trapped in your littleness. I'm going to say that again. What they fail to see, or what those people usually will fail to see, is the greatness that is trapped in your littleness. It is the forest that is trapped in that seed. It is the great things that is doable by putting that seed on the ground. And that is why many human beings would look at you and they just despise you. If only people know about the plans that God has in store for you, they will be taking you to lunch every day. When people know that you are a prime minister material, that you are a world changer, they would dare not say anything negative about you, because they will see clearly that this person is full of potential. This person is going somewhere. And I pray for you today, by the grace of God, your potentials will begin to come to light in the mighty name of Jesus. From wherever you may be watching this from, I don't care what your situation is right now. I don't care what is limiting you. Your potentials will begin to come to light in the name of Jesus. See, the father of David, he was the one that assessed David as not fit for the anointing. Samuel came to their courtyard, to their house, and you know, Jesse is the father of David, was supposed to line up all his sons. And yes, what he did was he lined up his sons but one. But the one he had assessed as not needed, cannot be fit for king. For what? Is that shepherd boy the least of all of them? The one that is not even as big and tall and mighty and muscular? So if Samuel were to be coming for someone who is, you know, built with a kingly stature, it's not David. And I don't know if you're watching this right now, you know, and someone has, people have assessed you as not fit for a kingly stature. People have assessed you. I remember when someone looked at me the other day and was asked to write a report about me when I started out my PhD, and he said, Samuel cannot produce a high quality thesis, and because of that, the man failed me. He recommended me for failure. What he doesn't know was that the same Samuel, according to the potentials that God has deposited on his inside, is fit to have a PhD, is fit for a high quality thesis, is fit to produce even high quality research after that, is fit to do great things, is fit for a fantastic future, is going to become a... He did not see that at that particular point in time. And that is why you must never allow people to pass a judgment on your current status, because your current status is not your future. Hey, the current picture that people have of you is not your future. What God has in store for you is your future. So you are full of potentials. You are omnipotent. You are full. You carry the seed of God on your inside. And like that 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7, you carry treasures on your inside. And I want you to believe that, because that alone is a recipe for confidence. I was saying when this program started, one of the reasons why people commit suicide is because they fail to see that. They fail to see their potentials. They take the assessment of people. They take the assessment of their addiction. They take the assessment of their failure. They take the assessment of some mentality of people around them. And because of that, they give up on life. Listen to me. When you are clear of the potentials you have on your inside, you can never take your life. It is impossible to take your life. For what? When you know that today is today, tomorrow has something loaded with it. See, that's why you must never see life, you know, anyhow. You must see life in phases. If today is looking somehow, tomorrow is great. Oh, tomorrow is bright. Tomorrow is beautiful. Oh, that's why I love the scriptures. It says, though your beginning may seem small, yet your latter end will greatly increase. I don't know who this word is for, but if you're watching this right now, please, you know, wherever you are, just put your hand on your chest, on your head. I want to pray for you. Father, whatever may seem small in the life of this person watching this right now, and people have assessed him or her and declared he's unfit for a great future, I begin to renounce such pronunciation on their lives in the mighty name of Jesus, that their future, their potential, the fullness of their potential will begin to come to light, unhindered, undelayed, in the mighty name of Jesus. And so shall it be in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible talked about Abraham in the book of Genesis chapter 15. We don't have time to go into that scripture. Abraham was questioning God when he looked at himself, looked at his age, looked at his situation, and said, God, look, what are you going to do for me seeing I'm going childless? Oh, God, what is happening? What is going on? I mean, you said I'm going to be father of all nations. What is happening? And somebody may be watching this right now, or listening to this, and you're asking God the same question. You're saying, Lord, what is happening? What is going on? What is going on? You know, why is my life like this? Why are people around me doing better than I am? Why is it that everyone else is moving forward but me? And if that is your question, I've got an answer for you. The Bible says in that book of Genesis chapter 15, and God took Abraham out. The Bible says, I'm going to read from verse 3, you know, after Abraham had made all his complaint and you know, Lord, you have given me no offspring and all of that. From verse 4, the Bible says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir. He was talking about Ishmael there. But one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside. This is where I'm going. You remember, our God is the God of potentials. And said, look now. Oh, I just feel like telling someone watching this right now. I made people do something in our church on Sunday. You know, I had the opportunity of preaching to our workers very early in the morning. And I said, I'm going to give you about 2 minutes. Just just close your eyes wherever you are. Of course, if you are driving and you're listening to this, don't close your eyes, please. But, you know, I want you to do this exercise. Just close your eyes for about 2 minutes, for about 1 minute. We don't have too much time. You know, just close your eyes for about 1 minute and begin to imagine your future. Oh, mama. If you're a musician, begin to imagine the kind of stage you're playing on. You know, if you're trusting God for a particular career, begin to imagine the caliber of people you are interacting with. Begin to imagine the kind of desk you sit on. Begin to imagine the kind of people you relate with. Begin to imagine, I mean, picture it in your head. Because whatever it is you can picture, you are going to capture. That is your future. Like I was saying on Facebook the other day, whatever it is that you think about is what you're going to get. So, you know, take a moment and, you know, just sit down without any distraction and imagine your future. See, there is an excitement that God has created in every human being once you can see something. You know, and once you see it, you begin to live it. Oh, so you may not believe me, but that is it. That's the potential that God has given to every one of us. The moment you see it, you can live it. That is the truth. And begin to use your imagination to your own advantage. One of the greatest power that God has given to every human being is the power of imagination. The power of vision. To be able to see what others cannot see about you. Now, time will not permit me, but I have written down five ways to make the existent visible in your life. Remember, all that is about your future is already existing. It's just not visible. They are already, that place you are going is already existent. See, the fact that you see a car driving 5 kilometers an hour right now does not mean the car cannot run 280 kilometers per hour. It can. The fact that you are going slow right now, the fact that life is slow right now, the fact that life is challenging right now, does not limit your future. And you, the responsibility is on you, not to limit your future, to begin to see beyond. And I want to share one, number one, the only thing, you know, I wrote five things here. The only one that my time will permit me to share today is the power of vision. Oh, ma'am. Vision can make the invisible or the already existent that is invisible to become visible in your life. Number one is vision. And I want to share one of my favorite scriptures with you. Daniel chapter 10, verse 7. He says, Daniel said, I alone saw the vision. The men with me saw nothing. But they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. I can preach a whole 3 hours message on this scripture alone. I'm going to read that scripture again. Hopefully you will catch the same revelation. Daniel chapter 10 verse 7. It says, I alone, only him could see what other people could not see. I alone saw the vision. The men with me saw nothing. That's why they were running helter-skelter and hiding. Until you begin to see, you will be one of those people running helter-skelter, hiding, when you are supposed to be manifesting. And it does not matter whether you are the only one seeing what God has said about you. It doesn't matter. If you continue in that scripture and go and read that scripture very well, Daniel chapter 10, it was what Daniel saw that brought Daniel to limelight. It was what Daniel saw that delivered the whole nation. In fact, delivered the whole generation. See, it doesn't matter whether you are the only one seeing what you are seeing right. I want to pray for somebody right now. Father, what that vision that we elevate this person watching this right now or listening to this right now, I decree that you begin to release into the life of this person in the name of Jesus, that their vision will no longer be limited. Their capacity will no longer be limited. They begin to see things that will break them through and break them forth into channels that you have for them. They begin to see things that will set nations free, that will set generations free. They begin to see things that will make them not to remain at the level which they are in right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. They begin to see things that will be the launch pad for them becoming a deliverer for generations. They begin to see things that will make them impactful and influential for generations to come in the mighty name of Jesus. The one major thing that can limit a man is the vision of that man. When you fail to see, or you are one of those people who see nothing, you will just be running helter-skelter and hiding. But when you are one of the people that see, like Daniel, He said, I alone saw the vision. In fact, by the grace of God, when next I'm on radio, I'll probably be on radio in the next 3 weeks again, by the grace of God, because other people are coming in the next 2 weeks. When I'm on radio next, I'm going to preach on that Daniel chapter 10, verse 7. I alone saw the vision. There are some things that God needs to reveal to us about the power of vision. See, when your environment is limiting, you know, it's limiting you, don't make sure you are not limited by your vision. Even if, like someone was telling me the other day, we were just having a chat, and the person was saying, oh, people of color always have this limitation when it comes to places of influence and all of that. I told the person, I said, no, that is not my case. What God has showed me is beyond my limitation. It's beyond the limitation that other people are having. And I say it boldly because I've seen it. And that is why you too must be able to, you must break every limitation by your vision. And when, even when your environment is limiting, make sure that your vision is not limited. Oh, we need to close right now. Make sure your vision is, begin to see yourself practicing in that area, that career, even when it appears it is impossible. Even when it appears it's the greatest challenge of all time, begin to see yourself doing it. Begin to see yourself passing that exam. Begin to see yourself entering into that office. Begin to see yourself entering into the, plugging into that career. Begin to see yourself entering into that realm that even the people of your color, of your country has never entered before. And you will get there by the mercies of the living God. In the mighty name of Jesus. God will begin to expose and show you ways to get there. In the mighty name of Jesus. See, when vision comes into the life of a man, when God shows you your vision, it becomes a strategy. And that is why the people that are failures, they don't have strategies. But when we, the children of God, and that's why I love that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it said, by faith. By faith, all the things that God commanded, all the things that God did came out of the things that were not visible. All the things we saw, all the things we could see came out of the things that are not visible. Faith is the most important factor in the vision of a man. And I pray by the grace of God, anyone watching this or listening to this right now, you will not lose your faith in the mighty name of Jesus. And let me just pray for you. Father, Lord, I thank you. For anyone that has had this message, watch this message, listen to this message, I pray every limitation of their environment, every limitation of their career, every limitation in their surrounding, limitation of the people they are exposed to, limitation of their friends and equals, Father, will no longer be their limitation today in the mighty name of Jesus. Vision that will lift them beyond their limitation, you begin to give to them in the mighty name of Jesus. You begin to expose them to their world, reveal them to their world in the mighty name of Jesus. They begin to become a celebrity, someone that will be celebrated beyond what anyone like them has ever achieved before in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for this one that they will live life to their fullest potential in the mighty name of Jesus. Nothing will cut them short before their time. They will not give up on life. Intestinal fortitude to push through every difficult phase that they may be in right now, you give unto them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. If there's a word that I believe anyone here may have picked up, it is the word that it is by faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. That means that if you don't know God, you cannot have faith. Because God himself is the source of faith. And that means if you have watched this right now, if you have listened to this message, and you have not accepted Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, all that I have said right now cannot work for you. You need to connect to the faith of, you know, the faith of believing in God and believing in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross so that it can work for you. So, and if you're there right now and you're that honest person and you're saying, Samuel, please pray for me. I want to accept Jesus into my life as my Lord and Savior. I want to go reconnect into this thing that is existent but not visible so that my life can have meaning, so that I can push through every difficult phase of my life, so I can live to my fullest potential and be influential and impactful in my generation. And you're saying that, I want to pray for you. And I want you to say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. Accept you into my life as my Lord and Savior. I want to live to my fullest potential. I believe in your work on the cross. Father, cleanse me. Wash me clean by your blood. I accept you into my life as my Lord and Savior. Set me free. Make me new. Help me to break free beyond my limitations. In Jesus' name I have prayed. Amen. If you've said that prayer, listen to me, you've just gotten born again. Your life is anew. Your life is brand new. There is possibilities ahead of you. No more restrictions, no more limitations. You will now begin to see visions and realms and rema and revelations of where God is taking you beyond your limitations, beyond your environment, beyond the people you're exposed to. And you'll be amazed at the things that God will begin to do through you. Your life will never remain the same again. Thank you very much for watching this. It's been a pleasure bringing this to you. And I believe without a doubt, God is set to do something in your life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. And of course, if you're watching this, share this with someone right now. Don't be selfish with what you've heard, because I believe it is life-changing. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Samuel. It's been a blessing, because I think, I'm quite interested in what you mentioned about regarding the suicide.
By the grace
because
of God.
New Zealand has got one of the highest suicide rate among the OECD countries. That's quite impressive. Not impressive, but...
crazy.
That's crazy. That's ridiculous. But and sometimes you wonder what makes people decide to commit suicide. And sometimes you wonder somebody have a broke up with a girlfriend and those small things in their life that actually causes them to make such decision in their life. Yeah. And I think there are many people out there who are taking their life based on small things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what I think at the back of my mind, if only they can meet somebody out there before they make that decision to say, you know, don't worry, tomorrow is going to be a better day.
That's the essence of that project.
And I think it's going to be a blessing too, because our generation are facing this problem, and I believe that we can help in our own way by supporting them and letting them know that there's going to be a better tomorrow.
Amen.
And there's even somebody out there to reach out to if they need any help.
Amen.
That's wonderful.
I'll be putting it up on Facebook very soon, so please help me share.
Oh, yes, Lord. We will definitely do that.
Let's push for it. Let's make sure every soul in New Zealand hears about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a blessing. And I believe also the society and the government also have to support you in doing it, because it's one of the ways of helping reduce the suicide rate among our youth. Yes. God bless you, Brother Samuel.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we're going to have a quick music break, and I'm going to come back to you right after this. This is Radio Kwa 104.6 FM. Are you just listening to our Brother Samuel? And the message was still powerful. God bless you, and just keep listening.
When men say there's a casting down, I will say there's a lifting up. Fear not, because God will preserve you. Hallelujah. Your case is different. My case is different. Though the world may say casting down, though the oceans and seas may roar, though the fires may burn the world, this is what I know.
Trouble around me, the works
hands are exempted from risk. No evil will touch me, no trouble around me. The works of my hands are exempted from risk. My cares is different, oh, different. Oceans and seas may roar, though the fires may burn the world, this is what I know.
Radio Aqua 104.6, we just gone live on Facebook. So those of you who are watching us on Facebook, feel free to share the video among your friends.
See
This coming from the camp of Nero X and Nana Kwame. Those of you who are joining us on Facebook, please feel free to share the video among your friends. So I know some of you started coming live on Facebook, and just share the video among your friends. Once you join us on Facebook, share the video and let us, your friends, know what the conversation is about tonight. If you join us, once you join us on Facebook, tell us where you are joining us from, and I'm going to shout out to you and your wonderful family wherever you are. So just tell us where you're joining us from, and I'm going to shout out to you and your wonderful family. So if you join us on Facebook, just let us know. Those of you who are in Kuwait, those of you who are in Australia, US, Ghana, Nigeria, those who are in Dubai, UAE, wherever you are, just let us know, and I'm going to shout out to you and your wonderful family. Okay, this is Radio Kwabo 104.6 coming from you right from New Zealand. That's sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand. So, okay, Alhaji Fatao, you've just joined us on Facebook. You say you are watching us from right from Saudi Arabia. So, Saudi Arabia. So, thanks for joining us on Facebook. Thanks for joining us from Facebook, Alhaji Fatao Yusuf in Saudi Arabia. Thanks for joining us. This is Radio Kwaba 104.6, sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand. Today, the topic is that our nation and our problems. There was an explosion in Ghana last weekend, and we're going to have a bit of discussion about that. And today I've got a Kizito Kiss Man right in the studio here with me, and a Kwasi Freddy also is here. So we're going to have a wonderful discussion tonight. We're going to have a wonderful discussion tonight. And you are feel free to also to let you to tell us what your views are on the topic that we are going to discuss. But before I invite Kizito to come in, okay, so Kimberly has joined us from Philippines. You just joined us on Philippines. So, Kimberly, thanks for joining us on Facebook. You've been a wonderful follower on Facebook, and you've been joining us on Facebook all the time. So, thanks for joining us, and your wonderful family. Say hi to Candice when you get in touch with her for us. Okay, and my wonderful wife also has joined us on Facebook. Shout out to my wonderful wife and my kids also back home at the moment. And I'm thanking Kizito and your wonderful wife, and I'm thanking Kwasi Freddy and your wonderful wife for allowing you to come to the studio with us tonight. Last week we had a discussion in the studio here about the New Zealand politics, what is happening. And the push was that some of the Africans in New Zealand must be involved. We have to let our voice be heard. And Kizito was in the studio here. And I believe, Rosemary watching us from Auckland, New Zealand. Thanks for watching us. So Kizito has got his experience. He knows the in and out of the Nizam policy. He understands MMP. At the moment, those of us in Nizam, we don't even know. So Gifty Fataho is also watching us. So just let us know, Gifty, where you're watching us from, and I'm going to shout out to you and your wonderful family. So Kissman is going to give us a little bit of information or an idea about the issues, how the politics is like. Those of you who are actually wondering what is happening in New Zealand, we don't know whether we're going to go with St. Peter's, going to go Labour or National. Kissman can give us an idea. Those of you who are watching us from Ghana, just be patient with us. Okay, so Princess has joined us. Princess, you also join us. Thanks for joining us, Princess, on Facebook. Okay, so those of you who are in Ghana, but you are also watching us, be patient with us for a little bit, because Kissman is going to give us. Okay, so Abolaway has also joined us on Facebook. Abolaway has joined us on Facebook. So it's very important. So give us a little bit of 5 minutes. Kisso is going to give us a little bit input as to the happenings of New Zealand politics. And we mentioned last week about the fact that New Zealanders, that Africans in New Zealand, we have to get involved. We have to let our voice be heard. So we're going to do that. And after that, we're going to come back to issues happening in Ghana. The explosions, yesterday it was in the news. This morning it was featured in the New Zealand Herald. So we're going to come back to that. So Kissman. So I'm going to just rightly go into the studio here and have a wonderful time. I'm having a bit of problem with my cameras as well, but no matter what happens, we're just going to go ahead and do it.
You need to wait a little time.
Okay, so Nanamafu has joined us. Nanamafu also joined us from UK. Nanamafu, thanks for joining us. You joined us from UK. Thanks for joining us, Nanamafu. So, Kissman, can you give us a little bit info into the issue regarding MMP? Because most of us don't understand what the heck is going on and the process going on. And because you are more connected to the national government. And so maybe you can give us an idea as to where Winston will likely be going. And the fact that the challenge that we put it up last week. Osei brought it up and Ima also brought it up. That Africans, we have to be really involved and we have to let our voice be heard. And we have to come out and let the population know that we want our voice to be heard. Kissman, what have you got to say to this?
Yeah, thank you, Kodu, for giving me the opportunity. It's a pleasure to be in the studio. It's always a pleasure to meet Freddy and the other people that you've been inviting to contribute their quota. As you said, what we practice in New Zealand, it's a little bit different from what other nations probably across the world do. Our electoral system is similar to that of Germany. So what we call the MMP is an acronym which stands for Mixed Member Proportional. And we used to practice what we call the Free Pass the Post, FFP, which means majority wins. So whoever, if you take maybe 40% of the vote, it means that you are the winner. So until 1993, where there was a referendum to change our electoral system. So we moved from FFP to MMP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so which means the number of party votes. So each voter has got two votes. So you have a party vote and then your electorate vote. So your electorate vote is for the person you want to elect for your electorate. And then your party vote is for whoever you want to, the party that you want that particular party to be in parliament or to be in government. So that's how we have in our system. So what is happening currently is that none of the major parties, that is National and Labour, had crossed the pass mark of what you could say maybe more than 50%. So I think we currently have about 120 seats in parliament. So you need to have at least 61 to have simple majority. And none of the parties, major parties, had that. So in the MMP system, is where what we call coalition comes in. So you form government with other minority parties or minor parties. And I think the essence of the MMP was that, I think until 1993, we wanted the minor parties or the smaller parties to also have a say, because it was always dominated by the two main parties, that is the Labour Party and the National Party. So it was like, well, it's always two parties. Why don't we give the opportunity for the other smaller parties to also have a say? And that is why they changed the electoral system so that at least we could have, a multifaceted way of governing, so that other, parties with other ideas could come in. Because if you look at the Greens, they come in with some of the ideas about the environment and, other things. And you look at other center-right and center-left parties could also come in with some different ideas that could help, So most of the parties are either leaning to left or right, And we've been practicing that, since 2004. 1994. that we've had this system in place. So what is happening now is that we don't have a government yet. So New Zealand has not had a government for almost 1 month now.
Okay, so Kisman, just a quick question. So having, for 1 month now, we almost a month now, we haven't had a government. Does this MMP thing worth the time that we've been putting in?
I think probably it will depend on the outcome of what is going to happen after Thursday, because Winston, who is the leader of the New Zealand First, is going to decide whether he's going to go left or right. So I think based on that, probably maybe we'll have a look at, you know, what the MMP is, whether it's working for us, or it's time to have a look at it and see what can we be structured, you know, to make it maybe reduced. Because you need, for instance, if you are a smaller party, you need a minimum of 5% of party votes to be able to have a representative. Unless you get elected, you have an electoral seat. That is where probably you can have more than that.
Let's talking about the politics. We are talking about the fact that Africans need to, this is the time, because Ima mentioned it, Kwasi Freddy mentioned it, and also Osei also mentioned the last time that during this election we saw as many Africans more enthusiastic than before, and that's why Ima was making a prediction that there are at least almost about 70,000 African potential voters. Because if you look at the South African, white South Africans, as you count them as Africans, and if you count the Zimbabwean, because they look at the Zimbabweans, and I know a Zimbabwean friend who's white but classified, she was born in Zimbabwe, got a Zimbabwean passport, but she's classified as a European, but because she's white. So if you put all these people together, there's a potential, we are looking at about 70,000 African potential voters. And it's about time that we need to be able to rally ourselves together and get our voice be heard. But the problem that we were facing was that who is going to lead us? And the issue was that Akofi need to rise up and to be able to lead the core of Africans to be able to come together and fight for what belongs to us. But also one of the problems, the issue was that we don't know our numbers. How many Africans are in New Zealand? We don't know. It's estimate. So
we haven't found out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you were Akofi's president before, and I believe you are not speaking for them, but from your experience, what role do you think Akofi need to play in terms of mobilizing Africans to come together for our voice to be heard?
Okay. I think with regards to that, I mean, when it comes to, getting the community to be more involved, because whether you like it or not, I mean, Africans are here to stay. So, I mean, you need to be involved. So you need to be heard. And that is how most of the ethnic communities are doing. If you look at the Indian, the Chinese, the Vietnamese, all these people, you know, come together to make sure that at least they put something together and put it forward. And we've kind of done some few policies to influence, you know, policies in one way or the other. We make sure that we contribute when there's something at Parliament. I think we did one or two when I was the Akofi president. So I think that all helps. But I think we can do more. You know, we can do more to make sure that, you know, our community is heard by the government, and not just by the government, but businesses, the movers and shakers of the country. You know, we make sure that we contribute, you know, to make our presence known in the community. And that's the only way that we could start, you know, influencing various sectors of our community.
Okay, so you are very much involved, because in AUT you were the president of AUT OSA, Student Union, and you are very much involved in almost all the African communities in New Zealand, Akofi, and you are very much involved with the Ghana Association of New Zealand. Do you think the African community, we are doing enough to be able to mobilize our people and even advocating for the need of our people in New Zealand?
Yeah, I think we are doing our best. I think, but we can do more. I mean, the enthusiasm is there. If you look at the energy, you know, we've got very vibrant people who are out there wanting to do more, especially the youth. You know, when we do African Youth Festival, you see, you know, how they come out in their numbers, and a lot of people are doing well. When you attend a lot of various African programs, you know, scholarships given to people, you can see that people are doing academically, socially, you know. The level of integration, I think we've come to a level where you could see that, you know, African Kiwis, because they mingle, you know, with other communities, they can do other things. You know, we are even doing more than what people expected us to do. You know, we are breaking a lot of barriers. So I think even getting there, I'm very optimistic that, you know, in the next few years, maybe the next two or three parliaments, you know, ahead, we could have maybe an African in parliament. I'm very optimistic about that.
The next two, that's in the next 6 years, to have potentially have an African in parliament. that would be amazing, you know, but because I'm, it's not impossible. Have you got any idea?
And to be honest, I was very impressed when we got our first former refugee in parliament.
Which,
and then she belongs to, I think, originally from Iran.
That
should show you that, I mean, as a country, we are kind of embracing, you know, diversity, and we are moving beyond. Our parliament is now beginning to reflect the community that we have, and which is fantastic.
Yeah, so I had last week there was this discussion that the best way for us to go, for any African or any minority group to go into parliament, is to go through the Labour channel, because the national seems to be a bit more privileged.
Well, I don't believe that. If I believe that, I wouldn't have become the student president for a white university.
So Kizito says it's possible to go in through the national list, but not necessary, because Labour tends to be more tolerant towards immigrant than that is it for New Zealand. Question: have you got anything to say before you go to the African issue?
No, I think Kizito has said it all.
So the next topic, those of you who are watching us from Ghana, the next topic is, there was an explosion in Ghana on the weekend. It was captured on TV3, was it TV3 or TV1 yesterday? It was very short, but this morning it was in New Zealand Herald. And the world is talking about, and not just explosion, 7 people officially, that was the last time I checked from the government website, was died. And from the information I get, the NP, the National Petroleum Authority, said they went around in May or June. They identified potential problems in certain filling stations. And this particular station was one of them. And what they identified was that there are too much activities going on around the filling station. People are selling. So, but now, they wrote a letter to them in June, telling them that this thing needs to be changed. June, July, August, September, and now we're on October. Nothing was done. So, Kizito, looking at issue, it's not only the explosion, but health and safety issues in Africa, in Ghana. What do you think is the challenges? And are we too far behind as a nation?
I think I've said it here before, that we have one of the most robust, you know, laws in our country, and even bylaws when it comes to the local councils. So it's not about the regulations, it's not about the laws, it's about enforcing the laws. I mean, our institutions are failing us, and they continue to fail us. I mean, you went there and you saw that there are a lot of human activities, and it was a disaster waiting to happen. Why keep on being, you know, too cratchy, excuse me to say, by writing letters? Shut it down. It's just as simple as that, because we've been so negligent, we've been so easygoing, everything human face, you know, and then we just let things be, and then when the worst happens, then that is where you see people in suit, politicians going there to, you know, inspect the site and see, you know, we do that all the time, and I'm very sure it happened to me more than twice or thrice this year.
I think the last year has been about 8 times. That's what I heard. That's because recently there was one in Dansuman. There was one in different part of, which is and which
quite, Kumasi,
yeah. And
it's happening all over the place.
So there's a guy here. His name is Daniel Ajin. He said he was there. He escaped the explosion. So Daniel is in Ghana, and also he said he escaped the explosion. And I think that must be very scary. So you can just tell us, Daniel, how does it feel like, you know, being there and this kind of thing happening?
It must have been a narrow escape for him.
And thank God for your life. Thank God you are still alive. Kwasi, what is your take on this? You seem to have, when I was talking to you earlier on, you were talking a lot about what we need to do as a nation. What do you think we need to do as a nation, Kwasi?
Interesting question. Because most of the time I see that we don't take our work serious.
most of the time, that person may be a chief or a member of parliament or whatever you may call him. I see them as celebrants, not as a worker.
Mm.
When it comes to something like gas, it's more dangerous than the petrol or diesel. But yet when we build the petrol station, we dig down, we put the tanks under the ground. And this explosion for gas is not the first time. And whenever it happens, cause a lot of damages. People die out of that. And it's not a natural disaster. It's a, if it's something like a natural disaster, we could have been blamed them. But this one is something that can be avoided. And we sit down, like we said last year, it happened about 8 times.
Yeah, I mean, for the past, I think someone was saying for the past 10 years, we've had at least 3 explosions every year.
It's
like, when is it going to stop?
Stop, yes.
When is it going to stop? It happens, we talk about it, we move on. So nothing happens.
I was in Ghana, I think, year 2004, something like that. And I was escape one in Asqua. That was very big. Like, look at where we put our tanks, those gas tanks. In the middle of the city. Why don't we start changing it? Maybe we could have maybe put them in the, have a site, maybe somewhere in a warehouse. That's where the tanks should be. And we can just fill them in a bottle. Come and put them in a, what do you call it, in a petrol station. So if anybody needs something, they go and then swap it. At least it will minimize the hazards.
According to sources, the current government is going to do something about it. That's part of, I think cabinet is having a meeting on Thursday. The president says that after Thursday, we'll get to know what some of the changes.
Because if you're going to say, it's okay, it's going to affect people.
We always play the human face.
And not 7 people already dead.
Person who owns that petrol station, can he sleep? When it happened the first time, about maybe 2 or 3 times, when the law should have been more restricted.
About time.
We could have saved the rest of the petrol stations, but we didn't do anything about it.
Okay, so what I would just, I'll just have a quick Facebook read. So Alhaji Fatal say our leaders are not planning well. Only corruption they know. They're only chopping our money.
And he's right.
Yeah. And how can you build a petrol station in the same area with a gas station? Our leaders need a common sense to rule the country. Okay, so Daniel, I mentioned earlier on, he said he was there, he escaped. He says he would like to give us a little bit update about what happened. So what I'll do is I'll just quickly go on Facebook and I'll just have, so Daniel, I'm going to invite you live on Facebook to be able to tell us exactly what happened. So I'm going to invite you, Daniel, just to make this conversation more interesting. I'll just quickly do a quick invitation. Just bear with me, I'll just turn my camera around. Okay, Daniel, just give me a hi. I'm going to invite you just to share with us. So Daniel, let me see where you are. I'm going to invite you. So let me see if. So Daniel, I'm inviting you now. So just accept the invitation, and then you're going to come on live, and you just tell us what happened, Daniel.
Just ridiculous, it's about enforcing the laws. Laws are there, the bylaws are there. So it's all about, sometimes we blame the politicians about all these things, but there are people who are responsible for that.
It's going to
affect EPA, you've got the local council, you've got Ministry of Energies. What are they doing?
They're all celebrants.
And to be honest, what one guy said was that you sent a letter to the petrol, the filling station, telling them that there's a problem. In June, July, there was no follow up. August, there's no follow up. September, there's no follow up. Until there's an explosion, you come back and tell us that we warned them.
And so what? What do you want us to do?
I'm going to see if I can. Daniel, I'm inviting you.
When it comes to gas, we don't play with it. Electricity is all right. Electricity can kill just maybe 1 or 2 people. That's fine. But when it comes to explosion, it's not something that you play with.
Let's continue our conversation. Once Daniel comes on, I will let you guys know.
Making a law is going to affect only few people, but more people will benefit. Let me give an example about this that school free HS. When they made a law that as a headmaster, you're not allowed to take bribe from anybody. I believe that most of the headmasters will head, but how many are they? Maybe you call about 100. But maybe 1,000 parents will be happy.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So we're not going to allow the 10, maybe 100 people to scrutinize maybe 1,000 people.
Yeah.
You see?
No, but because the issue is, you see, the laws are already there.
Because when they are trying to enforce it, it's going to affect some, one or two people.
So there could be some reforms. But if you are holding people accountable, if someone is going to jail for this, if you start jailing people, if you start making people responsible, then people will sit up. Because at the moment, it's just like, oh, and people get away with it.
And as I said, when it comes to gas,
we don't hold people accountable. And that is the issue. Because if this thing, people are to be fined, people are to go to jail, you know, for being negligent or something like that, I'm sure people will sit up. We'll talk about it and then we just, you know, leave it. And then the next time it happens,
maybe it happens to maybe one of the highest people.
It's just ridiculous.
Now, the question was, somebody was telling me, okay, so the laws are there. But when it comes to the leaders to implement the law, they don't.
They don't, because
with the same people who complain, when the Galamsey came, the same people complain, oh, why are you taking people's job away from them?
As a leader, he could see first, have to put a stop. During the Galamsey time, a lot of people were also complaining that they are destroying our water.
You know, the issue is that most of these directors of most of the agencies, of state agencies, are appointed by the government. You see, so they get compromised. And so it becomes difficult for them to do that. I've heard stories that a lot of these fuel stations were built during the NDC time, recent time. So it's like, and most of the appointment, blah blah blah. I'm just saying. So that if you have been appointed by the government and these people are building fuel stations, how do you, even if it's not supposed to be where it is, maybe it's too residential, what due diligence did you do? What did you do to make sure that at least, I mean, you avoid all these health and safety hazards and stuff like that? We don't. We just go ahead and do it. You know, because you don't want to step on toes where you lose your job. If you step on toes.
So
I will not step on the toes so that I will lose my job.
That's the issue.
The citizens of the nation need to be
What I would say, simply say that we need to start making laws. We need to start following the laws. It will affect me from this time, but in the future, my children will come and benefit out of it. You know, if you bring any rules, it's going to affect me or Kojo or whatever. But once you're a leader, you should be able, I believe the CIFA, try to implement it. For this time, I will not enjoy it. But in the near future, because now we come to maybe a place like New Zealand, or you go to UK, it's very beautiful. It's like this. We can live here, and our life is guaranteed that we can live up to 80 years.
Yeah.
Why?
I guarantee it.
You can live up to 80 years. You see what I mean? Why? It was somebody who made a law. This is the path.
And the interesting thing is, if let's bring it here in New Zealand, part of the issues when it comes to the housing crisis, you know, there's always a bone of contention between central government and local government. It's because the laws are working. You can't just bulldoze as a central government over the local government. So unless you change the RMA, the Resource Management Act, you cannot just step into it because you have boundaries. That is what we call the laws are working. Until maybe the local government make changes to certain things, central government sometimes, you know, their hands are tied, you know, to do certain things. You get what I mean? So the laws have to work. If the laws are working, people are... I work in the local council. I work for local council. And some of these things that come through, you know, for us to approve, because the thing is, if you've not had approval, you cannot connect to the water line. You cannot connect to the waistline. It's as simple as that. You can't do any illegal connection. If you do that, you go to jail.
I remember I went to a certain house. I was doing my job, and there was a builder who has finished his building, and he needed a guest to connect to his house. There's a certain millimeter that you have to dig about maybe 600 deep, and the guy did about maybe 400. The guy keeps saying, no, I'm not going to connect to the guest.
It doesn't meet the requirement.
So it's not
always about the politicians.
You know,
that's the problem.
So the people the regulators who's supposed to implement.
It's not just about the politics, because if someone did his or her job, we will not be talking about this. You understand? The president will not fly all the way down from Wa to come and inspect the site. Because someone refused to do his job. That is why the explosion, you know, happened.
And it also comes down to corruption.
Yeah.
If you come and inspect it and you know there's a problem, and I give you maybe 20 Ghana cedis or 2,000 Ghana cedis, you let me go.
Of course.
Because it's about time, and I think
I will let you go.
Okay, so those of you who are watching, who are listening to us on 104.8, very soon we're going to go offline. But those of you on Facebook, you can continue the conversation, and you can just go to Ghana Association of Design website Facebook page and watch us from there. Okay, go ahead.
You see, so it's about time that people have an understanding.
Yeah.
Now we don't live like maybe 30 years ago. We have got a lot of